intended this program is intended for a blind and print impaired audience. Hello, this is Shadate Hargett Hill from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I shall be reading to you from Sports Illustrated for Kids. Today's programming is underwritten with support from Raleigh Kiwanis Foundation. They can be reached at www.kiwanisfoundation.org. And a couple of weeks ago, I told you that this November issue is the photography issue. And the cover story, like I said, was about Larry Fitzgerald. And I told you on the cover, he had all these cameras around him, and he loves photography. So we're going to do a little story about him. Larry Fitzgerald is an avid photographer. The Arizona Cardinals receiver has taken pictures on his travels all over the world. He's not the only athlete who's a shutterbug. Kevin Durant worked the sidelines at Super Bowl 50. Ken Griffey Jr. has shot the Daytona 500. And fellow Baseball Hall of Famer Randy Johnson has photographed everything from surfing competitions to rock concerts. If they keep it up and follow the advice in these pages, they might see their work in SciKids one day. Talking about action photography, photogs need quick trigger fingers and knowledge of what they're watching to catch stars doing what they do best. Number 1, Kentucky Derby 2017. With photography in general, the most important things are atmospheres, shapes, and colors. And with sports photography, it's about anticipating the action. So for the picture, the key is finding atmosphere, the famous Churchill Downs sprays in the horse background, and you never know, are going to pass by twice, once as the race begins and once as the race finishes. It's about getting the remote control camera in the right spot, pointed in the right direction, with the correct settings, and firing at the right time. I can have anywhere from 10 to 50 remotes set up around the track, like anticipating the action. And that's true whether it's a predictable sport like horse racing or a more random sport like basketball or football. You have to understand the game, understand who the players are, and try to anticipate where they are going to go. And that was from Laura Held. Next, Astros versus Red Sox 2017. In baseball, much of the action takes place at home. Winslow Townsend stayed focused on the plate and got this shot and got a very wonderful shot of an airborne George Springer. Number 3, Notre Dame versus Wake Forest 2017. At football games, photographers like David Couto carry two or three cameras and a handful of lenses, allowing them to get tight photos no matter how far away the action is. Number 4, World Series 2016. Sometimes the best action is actually a reaction, as Al Tillman's discovered when he captured the Cubs celebrating their first championship in 108 years. Number 5, Trae Young 2017. To get a low-angle shot of the former Oklahoma star, Greg Nelson put a camera on the floor and used a right-angle viewfinder to look into it. He can't do that at big events like the Final Four, though, because there are too many photographers around, and to use his right-angle viewfinder, he needs to lie down on his side. Number 6, Capitals versus Red Wings 2017. An unexpected perspective can provide a really cool shot. Kuthro drilled a small hole in the boards in Detroit and put a remote control camera in it. He then covered the hole with plexiglass, giving him an ice level look at the game. Portrait photography. A lot happens behind the scenes to keep subjects loose, focused, and looking and feeling their best. And there are a lot of shots of different football players, one with Odell Beckham Jr., and he is eating a football. Another picture is him getting shaved. And there are some just great pictures of different athletes doing amazing things. One is of Venus Williams, and she's kind of like flying in the air. And there's also a picture of a team, and they're huddling. And it tells us a little bit more about them. The first one is Odell Beckham Jr., 2018. The New York Giant brings electricity to everything he does, as Michael LeBret found out when he photographed the wide receiver. But no matter how much fun subjects are having, they've got to look good. So Beckham got a little beard trim during his shot. Number two, Julio Jones, 2017. What makes a great portrait is the interaction with the subject. I like to play music on my sets to relax people. I always ask, do you want to use your iPhone or my iPhone? If you listen to my iPhone, you're going to just get reggae, so maybe you might like something else. That's always breaks the ice. Look them in the eyes, and it builds trust. Once you make that initial connection, you use certain words like a sense of power, a sense of destiny. The player gets into it, and he realizes the importance of the shot. On the technical side, you have to be flexible. For instance, I thought we were going to be shooting Jones Gifford in a humongous stadium. Let me say that again. I thought we were going to be shooting Jones in the same pose as Hall of Famer Frank Gifford in a humongous stadium. When I arrived, they put us in a 12-foot by 12-foot room with white walls. The first thing you have to do is cover those white walls with black fabric. What makes a portrait strong, besides the connection you have with the subject, is the lighting. And for the lighting to be seen, you need shadows. Shadows in a photograph create depth. It's the job of professional photographers to always have the tools they need to do the job. And that came from Jeffrey Salter. Number three, Wisconsin offensive line, 2018. Sometimes the subject does all the hard work. Williams is floating, like I said, like she is a ballerina, but she's floating from the air. She's doing a circus ole. Type move, and she's hanging from one of the bars, and she's very flexible, looking very beautiful and gracious in a white dress. And the photographer said, and sometimes it's the photographer who gets down and dirty to capture a Badger. O-line Salter had to lie flat on his back. Number four, like I was talking about, Serena Williams, 2015. The tennis star was named Sports Illustrated Sports Person of the Year for her physical dominance of her sport and her grace. Photographer Yu Tai Si captured both those qualities when he photographed Williams for the Sports Person issue. Number five, Anatomy of a Cover. The PsyKids August 2018 cover featured Clemson lineman Dexter Lawrence as a superhero. The first step in creating the cover was to send the photographer Salter an idea of how we wanted Lawrence to pose. So we had art director Drew Dunkowski demonstrate. Then Salter shot Lawrence in the same stance, and we placed it onto the background we wanted. Voila! Super cover. Supercover hero. And if you don't remember those shots, they are looking like superheroes. Actually, they look like Superman. You know, Superman had a pose where his arm is going straight out like he's about to fly off. And that's what they have up there on the cover. And it says lift off. Tricks of the trade. Photographers master a variety of techniques, including finding just the right prop to compose extra cool pictures. Number one, Rockets vs. Spurs, 2017. Greg Nelson used a special infrared camera to photograph Houston's James Harden going to the rim. The camera captures only infrared light, which is not visible to the naked eye. Light sources produce different amounts of infrared light, so Nelson sees some surprising results. For example, outside, grass and trees look white, but a blue sky will look black. Number two, Geico 400 2012. Fred Vooch created a cool effect by following the cars with his camera as he took a picture that kept the cars in focus while blurring the crowd, making the race look fast even on paper. Number three, LeBron James versus Serge Ibaka 2012 NBA Finals. To create a spotlight effect, I had to strobe lights in the catwalk of the arena, and they were funneled to one spot. Typically, in this kind of arena, if you're lighting the whole court, you'd use about 8 of them. Using fewer makes the background dark, so you don't get the distraction background, and your light is right on the subject, so they pop a little more. James has said that this was his favorite SI photo of himself, even though Ibaka blocked the shot. So on the shot, he's being blocked by Ibaka, but he loves the shot. He thinks it was very beautiful, beautifully shot. The strobes are triggered via a wireless signal, and there's about a 2 or 3 second recycle time between shots. That's the difference between strobes and just using available light, where you can just blast away at 10 frames per second. And that was Greg Nelson. Olympic Heroes 2016. Sometimes the tricks photographers use are high tech. Other times, not so much. To make gymnast Simone Biles, who is just 4'8", appear almost as tall as 6 feet, Kate Ledecky and a 6'4 Michael Phillips photographer Simon Brody simply had her stand on a box. And Leonard Fournette, 2017. Jeffrey Salter calls the effect painting with light and achieves it by shooting in the dark. He kept the camera shutter open for around 10 seconds, and his assistants manually set off strobe lights. Each color and shadow you see is the result of a strobe going off. And that's a beautiful shot. It looks like, it almost looks like two pictures of the same person, because Leonard Fournette, he looks like two people from one side to another side, different angles of the same picture. And number six, Michael Thomas, 2016. To create the illusion that Thomas's tie was in motion as he pretended to rip off his shirt, Salter used plain old fishing line, which was later removed from the picture using Photoshop. Capturing history. Thanks to these spectacular shots, some sports' most memorable moments will live on forever. Number one, Miracle on Ice. After the U.S. beat the mighty Soviet Union in the 1980 Olympics, Heinz Kumar captured the celebration. The image was so powerful that it ran on the cover of Sports Illustrated without any words. Number two, the touch. Michael Phelps was trying to win 8 gold medals at the 2008 Olympics. Kumar knew the 100-meter butterfly would be a tight race. To guarantee he had his remote camera in the best position, he placed it beneath lanes 4 and 5, where he guessed Phillips would be swimming. 2 days before the final, Phillips won the race by 0.01 of a second, and Kumar took a shot that showed just how close that margin was. Phelps went on to get his 8th goal, and Kumar got the most famous shot in swimming history. The greatest. Muhammad Ali was the heavyweight champ of the world. He had beaten Sonny Liston a year earlier. You can't have a bigger stature in boxing than that. Sports Illustrated was given 2 ringside seats right under the ropes to the Ali Liston fight in 1965 in Maine. The one I got was pure coincidence. It's one picture. It wasn't a sequence like today. It was electronic flash. You get 5 seconds for the electrical surge. It's one shot and that's it. We flew back the next day to New York. When I saw the film in the photo lab, I thought it was good, but I wasn't jumping up and down over it. The magazine ran a cover photograph from the fight, but they chose one of Ali throwing a punch. My picture ran as the fourth page in the four-page color spread. Nobody cared about it. It won no awards. It's funny, though, because in 1999, SI put it on the cover as the greatest sports photo of the century. The picture's statue grew as Ali's stature grew. This is the way people wanted to remember him. Neil Leifer. Number four, his airness arrives. Michael Jordan solidified his position as basketball's most exciting player at the 1988 Slam Dunk Contest. He won the event with a jam that received a perfect 50, and Walter Eos Jr. captured the moment with a shot from the baseline. Number five, thrilling victory. It's one of the most famous celebrations in history. After her penalty kick gave the U.S. a win over China in the 1999 World Cup final, Brandi Chastain did what men's soccer stars routinely did. She ripped off her shirt. Robert Beck's iconic photo perfectly captured the moment, a lasting, powerful image for young girls everywhere. And those are your photos. And now, since Thanksgiving is next week, we have a little cartoon that we're going to be reading. And this one is called Rookie Mistake, a Patriots Thanksgiving story. Hey, Tom, are you going to the team Thanksgiving lunch?
Of course.
Do you know what this note from Coach Belichick means? And the note says, Sonny, looking forward to seeing you for Thanksgiving. As the new guy, you have to take care of the RB float this year. It needs to be ready by the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade, Coach. And then another picture goes, I didn't know I was supposed to make a parade float. Thanksgiving is tomorrow. Then Tom Brady says, what's RB? And then Sonny says, running back float. Rex Burkhead float. And then Tom Brady says, are you sure it's not supposed to be a TB12 float? Then Tom says, maybe he meant to write Rob, R-O-B, as in Gronkowski. And then Sonny says, let's just go with that so we can get started. And so they hammer, paint, and so it goes. Then the next day, here's your turkey, Coach. And then the coach says, thanks, Gronk. The coach is saying, where's the new guy with the root beer float? And then, isn't that him on TV? Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. And on the float, you see Tom Brady, and he is sweating, as well as Sonny going on the float with a picture of 87 floating on top of them. And the next picture says, what are they doing in New York? And another player says, I don't know, but I love their ride. Okay, that may have been a little corny, but that's your turkey. Happy Thanksgiving. Next story, college basketball preview. Brother Act. Nevada twins Caleb and Cody Martin have the Wolfpack on the hunt for NCAA championship. Caleb Martin is the scorer, always has been. He's louder and more energetic. Cody Martin is the more well-rounded player. He's quiet, reserved. And while they are identical twins, sometimes their mom, Jenny Burnett, can't tell the 6'7", 205-pound brothers apart, their divergent personalities serve as perfect complements. Like on the court, Caleb can give a nod to Cody and they'll immediately be on the same page. Or Cody will glance at Caleb and each will know where the other is going. This brotherly intuition led Nevada to the Sweet 16 last season and now has the Wolfpack looking to go all the way. Caleb, an All-American candidate, averaged 18.9 points per game in 2017 and 18, while Cody averaged 14 points, along with fellow senior Jordan Caroline and highly touted 6'11 freshman Jordan Brown. The twin forwards are fueling Nevada's national rise, while rising above their tough upbringing. They both claim to have grown up without fully understanding the difficulties their family faced. They heard their mom say she wasn't hungry instead of eating. They saw her work three jobs. She'd leave at 2 in the morning after one job, making sure to be back by 3 p.m. to pick them up from school. The twins and their older brother, Raheem, lived in a small trailer in the town, in the tiny town of Coulomb, North Carolina. The trailer had only one bed for the three boys, so they'd rotate who slept in it. The brothers may not have known the full story, but they saw their mother sacrifice for them, and they applied her work ethic to their own lives. Caleb and Cody committed to North Carolina State out of high school, but after two seasons there, they were looking for more freedom on the court. They found it at Nevada, and no, they never thought of transferring to different schools. They had incredible energy that they brought to our practice, says Coach Eric Mossman. They wanted us to win. On the court last season, the two paired up to dominate games. Both are good defenders and can play multiple positions. As a number 7 seed, Nevada made the Sweet 16 and came within one possession of the Elite 8. It was so hard last year to get to where we were, says Cody, the oldest by 1 minute. Now, my main goal is to win a national championship before I leave school. This year, the Wolfpack have more depth in the front court, and point guard Lindsey Drew returns from injury. But if the team makes the Final Four, the Twins will be the ones leading the way. We've been playing with each other ever since we started, says Caleb. Being able to go to my second college with my brother, be it at school where our coach has a lot of trust in us, we just got to play freely. You can't ask for much more. Looking at All-American, the best players for 2018-2019, Carson Edwards, Purdue, and All-American last year, the 6'1 senior guard led the Boilermakers in scoring with 18.5 points per game and dropped 30 in the Sweet 16. Grant Williams, Tennessee, the reigning SEC Player of the Year. Williams is a 6'7 do-it-all forward. The junior averaged 15.2 points and 6.0 rebounds per game last season. Luke May, UNC, May passed up an opportunity to enter the NBA draft, deciding instead to try to improve on his 16.9 points and 10.1 rebounds from 2017 to 2018. Nick Ward, Michigan State, Miles Bridge, and Jaren Jackson Jr. left for the NBA, so Ward, a 6'8 forward, would pick up the slack and should have a monster season. Caleb Martin, Nevada. Nevada's leading scorer from a year ago, Martin has more weapons at his disposal and won't face as many double teams. Taking a look at Philadelphia Eagles, 2007 record 13-3. Number 1, crowded QB situation, Carson Wentz, 3,296 yards passing, 33 TDs, was likely the league MVP before an ACL tear ended his season in Week 14. Then Nick Foles, 971 yards passing in 3 playoff games, came in and led the team to a Super Bowl victory. All signs point to Wentz recovering in time for the opener, but the presence of the Super Bowl MVP will make things interesting. Number 2, defensive reinforcements. Losing breakoff CB Patrick Robinson, 4 interceptions, to the Saints in free agency hurt, but the front office made sure the defense still got an upgrade by trading for Seahawks defensive end Michael Bennett. He has been named to the Pro Bowl in each of the last 3 seasons and has 23.5 sacks over that span. Number 3, Jay's Way or the Highway. RBJ Ajay was on a pace for a second straight 1,000-yard year with the Dolphins when he was traded to Philadelphia midway through the season. He was effective, 408 yards rushing in 7 games with the Eagles. But this year, he received the lion's share of Philadelphia's carries with former teammate LeGarrette Blount, 766 yards rushing, now in Detroit. Number four, avoiding the Super Bowl hangover with Wentz back in the fold and most of the championship-winning roster still in Philadelphia. Could this Eagles team do what hasn't been done since 2004 and win back-to-back Super Bowls? Talking about Dallas Cowboys 2017 record 9-7. Number one, Zeke unleashed. After serving a six-game suspension last season, RB Ezekiel Elliott is ready for a repeat of 2016. No one has averaged more rushing yards per game than Elliott, 104.6, since he entered the league that year. Number two, a need for Lee. The Cowboys sorely miss LB Sean Lee when he sat out five games with a hamstring injury. Dallas was 1-4 in those games. If their defense is going to remain competitive, the Cowboys need Lee to stay on the field. Number three, different look downfield. The Cowboys released W.R. Dez Bryant, 838 receiving yards, and T.E. Jason Witten, 63 catches, retired, leaving QB Dak Prescott in need of some new favorite targets. Allen Hurns, 39 receptions for Jacksonville, will get a chance. Number four, the hot seat. Dallas has only made the playoffs twice since Jason Garrett took over as coach in 2010. If the Cowboys miss out on the postseason again, would that spell the end for Garrett, whose 76 wins are second most in club history? Number three, New York Giants. One, OBJ returns. A devastating ankle injury to wide receiver Odell Beckham Jr., 101 catches in 2016, saw his season end week five. Considering the Giants' number two receiver is Sterling Shepard, 59 catches, Beckham will be welcomed back with open arms. Number two, Shermer gets another shot. Pat Shermer earned a second head coaching job after being fired by the Browns 6 years ago. He led Cleveland to a 9-23 record in 2011 and 12. He was the Vikings' offensive coordinator last year. Number three, Saquon Season, arguably the best all-around player in the NFL draft, RB Saquon Barkley, 1,271 yards rushing for Penn State, gives the Giants an instant playmaker. If the rebuilt O-line can open up some holes, Barkley is going to line up highlight reels. Number four, it's all about Eli. He's 37 and has seen his numbers decline over the past 2 years. But QB Eli Manning, 3,468 yards passing, 19 TDs, has a plethora of weapons at his disposal. Can he bring the Giants back to relevance? Well, we'll have more on the NFL preview next week. We have a trivia question, and I want you to answer it next week. It says, Manuel Gunbally, who retired in August after 16 seasons with the San Antonio Spurs, has the highest winning percentage, 0.721, of anyone who has played at least 1,000 NBA games. Longtime teammates Tony Parker, 720, and Tim Duncan, 719, are close behind. Who is the next on the list? Danny Ainge, Michael Jordan, or LeBron James? Stay tuned next week for the answer. We've run out of time for today's episode of Sports Illustrated for Kids. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Shadate Hargett Hill for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for a blind and print impaired audience. Today's programming is underwritten with support from the Raleigh Kiwanis Foundation. They can be reached at www.kiwanisfoundation.org. If you have any questions, please call 919-832-5138. Again, the number is 919-832-5138. See you next time on the radio.